great Chicago show. We can tell you where to go. You should dial your radio to the Skinny and Hooley Show. It's the Skinny and Hooley Show.
Listoon, 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 Varna. Oh, Listoon, Varna. Listoon, 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 Varna.
How's it going there, everybody from Cork, New York, Dundalk?
Hey, how's it going, everybody? Welcome once again to the Skinny and Hooley Show. I'm your old friend, Mike Houlihan, and with me, as always, my old buddy, my pal, my friend, Mr. James Skinny Sheehan. Skin, what do you say?
Hey, welcome back, Hooley. We missed you last week.
Oh, Skinny was rough.
Brother John stepped in and did a nice job.
He did.
Really
Johnny Vegas.
Johnny Vegas.
And former adult film star Johnny Vegas was stepping in for me. God bless him. Hey, you're listening to the Skinny and Hooley Show. We're brought to you by Flood Brothers Disposal, our old pal Bob Flood. We're coming at you out of Cicero, Illinois. WCEV, we're Chicago's ethnic voice. 1450 on your AM dial. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're streaming online at WCEV1450.com. And if you should ever miss a show, you can always catch the podcast, usually up by Monday at SkinnyHooley.com.
Hooley, it's great to be back here, Lizzie McNeil's on the river.
It sure
gorgeous
is.
Night here tonight.
Nice pint of the black stuff.
Right.
In
and
front
if
of
people
me.
Ever want to come down on Wednesday night, now,
sure.
From now on, this is the time to do it because we're right
the
on
weather.
The Chicago river and the weather is beautiful. Next week, we'll probably be outside.
Maybe, yeah.
God willing.
Yeah. The next week's guest is a phone in, so we could do it from anywhere. Hey, speaking of guests, we got a very, very special guest tonight, our old friend, Tim, the big guy, Maher, famous author, St. Rita All-Star.
Sports historian.
Yeah.
And bon vivant.
Yeah, sports.
Not so big. I dropped 50, and I'm looking for a pair of pants from Skinny pretty soon.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Good for you. I wish I could.
What was my hurry?
What have you been doing the last 20 years? Anyway, Tim has a new book. Now, what was the other book? It was about St. Rita football.
3 Yards in a Cloud of Dust.
Oh, that was a terrific. I love that book. Yeah.
Unbelievable story of the 0-9 to city champs in only 2 years of St. Rita, 1970.
And that was filled with anecdotes about Catholic League football.
Yes, sir.
And I can't recommend it too highly. I love it.
All Catholics were represented.
Oh, it was terrific.
Especially my caravan.
Now, this one.
Now, wait 1 second. I want to ask him one thing about that. They went, and it was that Billy Merrick and
Dennis Slick.
Dennis Slick, yeah.
They were juniors.
Yeah.
They let us carry them.
And I think I probably told you this before. Jim Pyko is a good friend of mine.
Yeah.
And he was on that team. Well, his back got goofed up. Roger Nemec. I was at that game when Roger caught the.
Yeah, Roger Nemec. I remember
the extra point. They won 15. Loyola 15-14, wasn't it? I think it was Loyola. But when they won the Catholic League, that was a few years before
well, they won a national championship in 63.
That was it.
Okay, yeah.
It's the only team ever.
Yes, correct.
In Illinois, right?
Yes.
That's amazing.
We played in front of 65,000, our prep bowl, 1970.
Field?
We played in the last prep bowl before they enclosed the north end zone.
Right.
We beat Lane Tech 12-8. Yeah.
Yeah.
65,000 was awesome.
That's amazing. People, you know, in fact, Jim Pyko, which was interesting, I was telling him about the Special Olympics, he goes, Skinny, I went down 1968 for the first Special Olympics. One of the coaches.
Oh, the first year?
The first year.
Yeah.
He goes, I was here. And I said, you what? Because we're trying to locate people for our 50th anniversary.
Sure.
And I said, I never knew that. I've known him for 40 years. I never knew that he was down there. And it was so it's kind of interesting. So, but he's a great guy.
Great history.
Yeah.
So, the new book, We Are Chicago's Game. 16-inch no-glove softball. Now, just an anecdotal story, Tim. Years ago, I had a career in New York and everything, and I was producing a play that a friend of mine wrote, Peter Nolan, about Chicago politics. And I had these guys in New York looking at the play, and there was a thing about 16-inch softball, and this guy goes, there's no such thing. I said, I beg your pardon? How could you? I said, we didn't wear gloves, you know? There was no gloves.
Right.
And he goes, I don't believe it. I said, I'm sorry, but you're not from Chicago, and you're not going to be helping us write this opus. But because it's unique to Chicago, 16-inch softball.
Yes.
Chicago only.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's played a little bit now in Arizona, a little bit in California. For 40 years, the Chicago area has been trying to recruit the same four teams from Iowa to, with gloves, which is sacrilegious to us.
Absolutely.
Purists.
Yes.
And so that never happened since. But, it's no gloves, and it's my...
The clincher.
Right.
And while we... Let's go right into the... I wrote
a poem.
An epic poem that is on your website. What's the website, Tim?
It's Chicago 16-inch no glove softball.com.
Okay, check that out. And you can buy the book there, too. But
is it the 16 the number? Or is
1-6.
1-6, okay.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to play his epic poem, The Clincher.
Softball, Chicago style. 16 inches of a ball and a bat, no equipment, no gloves, bare hands, and that's that. Growing up in the summer with all your pals you play, this simple game of 16-inch, day after day after day. Milk cartons, crushed for bases. It's pitcher's hands you shout. With only three guys on a team, you hit the right, you're out. The clincher's now a pillow. You're tired and it's dark. Hey, Dad, let's watch the Legends play. We go to Kelly Park. With bleachers packed, with loyal fans, the foul line stacked three deep. It's strikers and the cats tonight. You squirm to catch a peek. There's Tallow, Filkins, Jacoby, the best that's in the game. And don't forget Johnny Kelleher, now in the Hall of Fame. My favorite was a little guy in center he would camp. Come on, come on, all night he'd scream. Ed Surma was the champ. The years have gone by for this softball fan, but the game still remains much the same. The players, sponsors, and 16-inch fans still support this wonderful game. Fritz Zimmerman, George Bliss, Jack Stout, Bill King, Rich Melman, great supporters, everyone. And thank you, Al Mag, for all that you have done. A coach's work is endless, and most of them are super. Here's three that rank a cut above. Frank Holan, Claude Rhodes, Dick Cooper. To umps we scream and yell at, like Monza and Akinfora we chew. For their efforts and hustle we thank them. No game without you, Blue. So keep going to your local parks who watch this game we play. It's fun. It's great. It's 16-inch. There is no other way.
That was great.
That is terrific.
That is terrific. How about the champ,
Eddie Surma.
Yeah.
He was about 5'4", and he played three games a night. He just got
he didn't drive.
He got on a bus and just went all over every park.
This is such great Chicago history. Yeah.
He was a terrific, terrific ball player. Terrific.
The champ. They call him the champ. Yeah.
Now, who invented 16-inch softball?
It was invented at the Farragut Boat Club, probably a block away from here as we speak. Casino River's about a stone's throw away.
Yeah.
And what they did was they took a boxing glove and rolled it up and put string around it and rounded it out. And they took a broomstick and they threw it. They pitched it.
Yeah.
And that's how 16 has got invented.
No, what year was that?
You were there, weren't you?
Yeah. What year was that?
1870 something.
Honestly,
I just missed it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, one thing. I know that was about the clincher. There was another ball, too. What was the other one?
It was the top notch.
Top
Wilson
notch.
Made it. Yeah.
They
still make a yellow ball, believe it or not.
I remember
for
that.
Night, you know, it helped
right.
at night.
Sure, yeah.
I've seen that recently. But that's the only other company that that makes it with the KPAC Center. It was made in Haiti for 50 years, and we'd be jamming, man.
Oh,
and,
that clincher is one of the coolest things, just to hold it in your hand.
Oh, yeah, I'd be in New Orleans, I'd open my trunk, and they'd say, what the hell is that? Yeah. I have about five clinchers.
But, you had to have a new clincher for every game.
Yes.
Because once it got hit, bonked, it took some of the life out of the ball.
Especially now, too, with the size of some of these guys hitting the ball. It softens up pretty quick. Yeah, it really does.
And how many fingers would you think?
A million.
Both? Third baseman, especially.
If you were a finger doctor, you'd be retired right now.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's how much.
I was a catcher, and you just stand there with your hand out like that,
I was doing a charity game. I was with the old Chicago Fire Football Club, and we were playing the Bears. 16-inch game, and I was catching.
No kidding.
And Reeve Sori, who was bigger than me, one of the few, come to try to score on me, and I tagged him out. Down goes Sori, and he's bleeding. The ambulance came. I put him out. Yeah. Yeah, you don't mention what a guy who knows what he's doing with a clincher. You know, but everybody played the game. I mean, the great thing about our game is if you haven't played it, you surely know what it is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And because you couldn't drive by a park, especially where we grew up,
yeah,
with 100 parks in a 3-mile radius.
Yeah.
Everybody played. And if you had lights, you played till 9, 10 o'clock at night.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, it was way more interesting than watching a league game.
It was great stuff.
Because everybody hit the ball. It was always action.
Yeah.
It was go, go, go. It was
terrific. I ran a lot of tournaments. 70s, 80s, and 90s was my era. I had to run 100 tournaments. And I invented one of the rules, the second best rule in softball. The first was when they inserted the, if you hit a foul ball on two strikes, you're out. Because guys, Tony Ribo would get up there and hit 10 foul balls to loosen up.
They'd be
and
there,
you know,
all day.
Yeah. Well, I put in the Mope rule. The Mope rule was if you hit
the
Mope rule. Oh, yeah. It's still yelled today. And if you hit a foul ball out of bounds, especially at a tournament or someone's yard, you know, in the neighborhood, you're out and you're a Mope.
Now,
Mope on Diamond One, yeah. But the third, when I'm starting Diamond another tournament, I'm putting a third penalty in it. You're out, you're a Mope, and go get the ball.
Yeah.
Huh? I wish I'd have put that in from the get-go. You go get the ball, Mope, and sit down. So that'll end that real quick. But, yeah, I mean, other than that, you know, other than the drag step, the dump, stuff that, you know, guys like Mike Tallow invented and things like that. And
one of the things you mentioned in the poem, and this we did as kids, pitcher's hands, you're out.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't have enough guys to play.
Invisible man on first.
Yeah.
Remember that
man
guy?
Yes.
Right? Another guy to get a hit, and you didn't have enough guys. Well, invisible man on first.
Invisible man. he moves up.
How great was that?
Oh,
yeah,
that was great.
What
right field out.
Right field out, yeah.
Why bother, right?
Right. Yeah. Played all day. Played in the prairie.
You know, my brother Mike worked at Kennedy. He was great at doing those. He was the gym instructor at Kennedy Park. And they had some real good teams up there. Man, like Kelly Park, but they had great, Clarendon Park had great teams.
Kennedy Park, Skinny, is the last bastion of great softball today on the south side.
Yes.
You know, Mount Greenwood, too. John Ferrand, Rita guy, is doing a nice job there. He's still got 67 teams there. But Kennedy, with the Papa Hops tournament that they have.
Oh, it's a great tournament.
They get a couple thousand people out there, great fundraiser.
Yep, not just for the players. There's tons of fans. It's great. It's a great party.
It's a tremendous event.
Yeah.
And Liam Hopkins, the Hopkins family.
Great
people. Marge Hopkins has been at St. Rita in the office for 40 years. Just great people. And Paul Rowan does a nice job, a Carmel guy, does the Best of Western up there all the time at Kennedy, and keeping softball alive there. Blue Island used to be a big hub back in the day with Hart Stadium and
Hart
Centennial.
Stadium, they hit great.
We did a lot.
But
of
when Mike was up there, when he was working in the summertime, you can ask him. He's more guys with their fingers, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
He said he was like 18 years old.
Because that ball comes flying at you.
I think rolls of tape sold more than clinchers.
He would just say to the guy, now listen, just relax. And then he pulled it.
Pull it back. Yeah.
Yeah.
You
know, get back in the game.
Get back in the game. Same with shoulders and all kinds of stuff. But anyways. Then he'd tell him to rub some dirt on it and go back in the game.
Well, you know what? I actually petitioned the IHSA 2 years ago about what do I got to do to make 16-inch softball a sport.
It's a great idea.
You know, if you got bass fishing as a team sport, why can't 16-inch softball?
Yeah.
It's the most inexpensive game
ever
made, a ball and a bat.
Yeah, no mitts, nothing. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, you know, and the kids would love it. And there's 880 IHSA high schools. If I got 10%, they'd approve it. And I got about half of it, and then it kind of petered out. But I'd love to see it someday. And,
that'd be great.
The great thing about it, guys, and
now they got a lot of women playing. I mean,
do you know that how big girls' late softball is tremendous? A girls' softball field, and every high school's got them, are the same exact dimensions of a 16-inch field.
Uh-huh.
So and if we played in the fall, we don't knock heads with the girls. So you can have a 16 lead.
They're playing with mitts.
Yes.
The girls.
Yeah. Yes. And that's okay. Yeah. But if they played it in the fall, they'd have their own field and everything. So we'll see.
Is it in Grant Park? I know they.
The last Grant Park tournament. It was the old style classic, 19 diamonds, gentlemen. I had 122 teams, with co-rec and women and guys and A and major, and. The first two games Saturday, double elimination.
Wow.
I don't know if you passed Matt at Carmel, but good luck with this one. We got rained out after two games on Saturday.
Oh!
Now, I got a buddy's mine, softball player's wedding I had to go to that night. I went there. I redid the whole tournament and got it all in on Sunday.
Go figure. Honest to God?
Yeah, yeah. Thank God I had a golf cart. I got one for Jack Stout. Shut up. And shout out to Mike Stout, a Hall of Famer, whose son just got called up to Kansas City Royals as a relief pitcher. So he's into big, so we want to congratulate him. But there's so many people now. Like now what I'm doing is a lot of guys that are playing are retired or Hall of Famers. They got kids in high school that are, but we follow them. Yeah. We acknowledge them, you know, and stuff like that. It's a great community because, you know, and, you know, my mom used to say, God bless her, tell a friend, tell a phone, tell a softball player.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's how they are. But we keep together, you know.
Now, the Hall of Fame is its own building now in Forest Park, right?
Yes, beautiful building, museum.
Yeah.
Right on the grounds, gorgeous.
My son lives right across the street from
Al Magg, our founder, and I know that a lot of people were instrumental in Fritz Zimmerman and Ray Topps built it, and just a lot of Rich Melman, who has been wonderful to me and all of softball. He had the 27 Yankees back in the 90s and best team maybe ever in the game. And just a gentleman and does what he can for softball. And so there's a lot of people involved that are helping us go. This was our 20th year at the Hall of Fame. It was at Drury Lane Oakbrook again.
Oh, the dinner.
Yeah, the dinner, yeah. Yes.
Huge
and
crowd,
we had 600 people there.
Yeah.
And just fantastic.
I used to go to it at
George Bliss is his 20th year. God bless Howie Fagan.
Yeah.
A Mount Carmel legend.
Sure, yeah.
And, we enjoyed being there, and he got us started. And then we moved out to Oakbrook, and George Bliss took things over, the great MC. And so everything's, look, the game is nowhere near it used to be, and as far as numbers. But there's still people out there that passion, and, you know, Forest Park is still the granddaddy tournament.
Yeah.
This is our 50th year of
having. They got lights. You go out there, and they got the lights.
Two diamonds, press box, we broadcast it.
Yeah.
It's our 50th anniversary this year. They take 24 teams only, invitation only. And you better be good when you go there. And
when is that tournament?
That's the last weekend in July every year. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They get 24-team double elimination, and you can't get near the park. You know, they line the outfielders 20 deep with lawn chairs for the championship game. And it's an event. And the history of Forest Park is in my book, as well as every Hall of Famer for the last 20 years is in there. You can pick it up. And it's...
there's a whole thing on Mike Royko. He was a 16-inch softballer.
Well, Mike Royko, that Don DeBatt wrote that article, and he actually went to a judge and had the judge rule that there can be no gloves ever played at Grant Park, and the judge wrote it and granted it. Mike Royko did that. How awesome is that? That had to be in the book.
Yes,
yeah,
that's
I mean,
terrific.
We don't, you know, gloves is...
You
should wear lipstick if you wear a glove.
you should wear lipstick.
Maury Ephraim, players manager of People's Gas, said, Mike Royko's right. Only sissies wear gloves in 16-inch softball.
And there's harsher gloves words ruin than the that game. We use.
I'm sure they do.
Yeah. But no, that.
Now, hey, I remember some of the tournaments. I think in Blue Line, they had some real good African-American teams.
Oh, God. We celebrated one of the great ones. This past Saturday in Blue Island, it was the Claude Rhodes Memorial. Claude Rhodes ran the Safari Tigers, who was one of the very best African American teams, along with the Senators, the Flamingos, Donnie Gardner's team. There was quite a few. They're well represented in my book.
Yeah.
Pete Dawkins was one of the great umpires, but Claude Rhodes, he was an older guy and slow, and you know he said, Tim. We're beat up today. You go easy on us, Tim. And then he'd run rule you. You know, he'd put 20 on you and say, thanks for coming. You know, great, great man. And I'm glad they honor him with the tournament. And, and they're still a huge league at Washington Park. And all over the city, Hispanics are well represented now. This guy, David Padilla, is an up-and-comer. He's a hustler. And I was at Archer Park. They had 18 teams out there on a Sunday. A league, which was very impressive, and especially with the numbers that we have today, you know.
Could they ever get into the public schools in Chicago?
They did.
Didn't they try it?
They did. I was at that meeting. It was with Paul Vallis when he was the superintendent. Mike North got it going.
Yeah,
Rich Melman.
I remember Mike Vallis.
And they did have a team. They still have about 14 to 16 teams play, and we honored the winner at our banquet, the public league champion. I tried to do it for the Catholic League. But seeing they got their first community money, they won't part with anything, you know. And I once went, when I had my TV show, the Apple Chevrolet Prep Report, for 10 years on TV, I went to an Catholic League AD's meeting. I said, guys, give me $1,000 a school.
Yeah.
That was $13,000 at the time. For 9 months of a weekly Chicago Catholic League show on every sport you got on TV.
Mm-hmm.
No.
No.
Priest wouldn't. If the coaches wrote the checks, I'd be Bill Gates.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
But because of the clergy, we're not taking any money out of our alumni's pocket for you, Mo, you mope. You know, so that was out, you know, and I would have loved to have done it. But because I'm all about
the Catholic League. Here's a picture in the book, 1974 World Series of Softball at Soldier Field.
Yes. They televised that game.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was in the north end zone where they had, and I said we played in the last game before they enclosed it.
Yeah.
They had a little section in the north end zone. They had enough room for a softball field. So I think Tim Weigel broadcasted it.
Oh, did he really?
Tim Weigel, yeah. And then we had a pro league for a while with Mike North and Steve Cashel doing it from Forest Park. Yeah, when Rich Melman was involved and some people, and Billy King from Miller Beer. And, we had some people that you know, there. That Grand Park.
Wait a second. You say you had a beer. Did softball players drink beer? I didn't realize that.
Yeah. That's all they did.
How about it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually you played for a keg. That was the pro. You know. Well, the you know what? A keg, right?
Hooli, we used to have keg games. Yes, we'd play. Or you'd have if you have a money game like us, we'd play for $5. Oh. But if there was a Cats, Sobeys, Bobcats game, how much you got in your pocket? I'll take it all.
Yeah.
200, 300, you're on.
No
Boom.
Kidding.
Oh, huge money.
Yeah.
And the old timers would go to Kelly Park. They'd get off the bus and they'd have just wads and who you got?
Oh,
big
no.
money.
Wads
big money.
Of dough they
yes,
have.
Yes, wads pocket. Of dough. We'd play for $5, and that, which was a lot of money to us when we were sophomore.
But they
St.
were
Rita.
Betting hundreds of them.
Hundreds, yeah. Hundreds.
Wow.
What do you got?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I asked a famous player, not to mention no names, but you can guess who it is. I said, what's the most you ever got for a game? He said, for one game, championship game, I got $5,000.
Honest to God.
$5,000 cash.
Yeah. Some guy who was betting on
remains nameless.
Yeah.
Yeah. Politician, famous position that held the ball a lot. I'm not going to say anymore, you know. But, it was juicy. I could have put a lot more in that book. It would have been very, very juicy.
Indictments will follow later.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But, yeah, matter of fact, speaking of indictments, I got my teammate from St. Rita, Ray Jagielski, and pardon me,
the judge.
The Honorable Ray Jagielski. Yeah, he runs Bridgeview Courthouse. And turns out that my new show coming up, if I may give it a plug.
Absolutely. First of all, the book, got to get the book. If you ever played this game or watched the game or just enjoyed the whole Chicago history of 16-inch no-glove softball, it's called We Are Chicago's Game, 16-inch no-glove softball. You can get it on your website.
You can get it on my website. You can call up Skinny or Hooli, and he'll give you my link. It's available actually.
It's only $14.95.
And I'll give it to you for $10 if you see me. It's available at Bookies on 103rd and Western.
Sure.
Keith over there takes good care of me, again, with my Rita book. But, yeah, it's a great read if you like the game, and there's all kinds of great stories in there.
And photos, tons of photos, some of the old-timers and stuff. Just great Chicago softball history.
Well, everybody knows a family member, a relative, somebody who played the game or loved the game or whatever.
Well, it's good to know that they're still playing it. You know?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's my job with this new show I'm bringing out is to keep what's playing alive and keep these gloves off these kids' hands. See, I can't really...
No, don't let
I can't
them play
really. I can't really blame the kids today because they were weaned on gloves. We weren't. We didn't know what a glove was unless we watched the White Sox.
Yeah.
These guys were grown up with gloves, and they thought by wearing them they could play with lettuce and all these teams and have a chance to beat them. We would play the Cats, and if we only lost by 12, we'd be singing and dancing on the way home just because we got a chance to play the best. That's what we wanted to do. These kids like that. And no. I won't give me the glove, and I'll only lose by 5. Well, that's, you know, like I say.
Now, who owns the clincher company?
I think it's Rawlings. Market? Rawlings owns it now. It was De Beer.
It was De Beer. Couple, so the Diamond guys?
Yeah, Diamond. Yeah, there was a couple of different fake clinchers, but they fell apart after you hit it twice.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's nothing like a clincher, and they got to market. And, you know, it's not like they have $1 million to spend because we're the only place who plays it.
That's the only place.
How much does a clincher cost now?
Yeah, about $15 in the store.
Still not bad. Yeah, it's not bad. $3
Yeah. $3
It was like $3 Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And you'd break it out, though, and be like, ah, oh, and you have it in the trunk of the car, yeah. And you'd open the box. And yeah,
oh, you get that new one. You
know, with the first few innings,
you'd forget
scrim
it.
Yeah. Your hands.
Yeah, like, it was something. But there's still nothing better to watch than a double play with bare hands and boom, boom, boom. And then you watch a guy go to the hole and catch a line drive in left center with one hand. And,
yeah.
And somebody's wearing a glove, you're telling me?
And the pitching.
And the worst, guys. Making an error with a glove on. What do you want, a friggin' beach ball? Huh? You can't catch a 16-inch clincher with a glove?
Yeah.
God bless me.
But the whole pitch delivery, you know, boom, and it comes flying.
That was an art. Mike Tallow made an art with the drag step, with the hesitation.
You get
two hesitations.
Yeah.
And you'd be the guy.
Underhand.
I've seen guys swing at a hesitation. You know, it was so good.
Yeah.
You know. But that's just how it is, and it's an art, you know. You can jump off the mound. My buddy Dave Butterfield, who helped me wrote my book. This book. He lives in Arkansas now. He pitched up in Chicago about 20 years ago and loved it. And he would jump off the mountain and cover first. I mean, it was an art, you know.
Sure.
It was you were an asset to your team back then, you know, if you were.
Who were the best infielders you saw?
Well,
but you said Zolna and the other guy is pitchers, Tallow.
Pat Caputo, Egg Zarnik, Tommy Zarnik, Zeman. There were quite a few of them. But
who was the guy that played on the New York Knicks, the first baseman?
Moose Gowron.
Yeah,
Moose played 16-inch.
New York Knicks.
No, he
the
played
Yankees.
New York Yankees. But the guy that played on the Knicks, though, the real big tall guy. He's 16.
Skinny. The only thing I got in common in basketball, I'm shaped like one, so I wouldn't know that answer at all. But
the New York Knicks.
No, there was a guy that from Chicago.
A black guy?
We've got Mountain Rushmores. Our top three, in my opinion, are Mike Tallow, Keith Philkins, and Johnny Kelleher. Those would be the top three. And I asked Mike Tallow, I said, Mike, who would be the fourth on your Mountain Rushmore of best softball players?
Mountain Rushmore of 16-inch softball.
And he said without hesitation, Jake Jacoby. He said, Tim, Jake batted 800 lifetime, and he said he would get three hits every game and only bat twice. He said that's how good he was, you know.
Now, so. The strikers were a very famous team.
Yes, Sobeys, Bobcats. There were a lot of them back then.
But the other thing is softball players came in all different sizes. You didn't have to be You did not have to be, you know, 7 feet tall or some big
– No, you didn't. You didn't. Johnny Kelleher was a small man. But nobody could hit like them in history. You know, and then you'd have your, you know, role players. You'd have your managers. You know, when I played, if I got a base hit, it'd take three more hits to get me home. So, you know, I knew my spot. I knew how to run tournaments, and that's what I did. I ran tournaments most of my life and tried to continue the game, which I'm doing now.
You got to get young people involved in it because the game could die out. Right.
Yeah, in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... It's again not
and
like
that would be a real shame.
No, I mean we had, you know, we couldn't wait to get home from school or go to the prairie and have a pickup game.
Yeah,
and there were teams everywhere, and
you know when we were kids you couldn't afford a clincher for every game, so you'd be hitting this thing.
Yeah,
it'd be like a pillow.
Yeah, it'd be like
well when we were growing up when we were in high school
the ball would explode sometimes.
Every park had softball. Now it's empty. It's just sad, and the park district sadly. You know, they're like charging $100, $150 just to rent the fields for an hour. You know,
terrible.
It's like, geez, I mean, come on. I mean, you know, like you say, it's for the, if you get the kids playing it, you know, we got a shot. And
when's the TV show start?
May 20th. It'll be on my website from 6 to 8 on Sunday nights from TC's Pub. I want to thank Bob Olson, who's the owner. Matter of fact, he's a lawyer with Ray Jagielski. He's the number one DUI lawyer in Illinois.
Good to know.
I don't have to worry about that. I don't drink. I mean, I think when he heard my pitch, he said, "What time can you start?" When he heard I'm going to bring 50 softball players in his place, he says,
"Oh, that's true.
Can you start tomorrow night?"
But I
got really lucky.
How do they find it on your website? What's the website again?
It's Chicago 16-inch noglovesoftball.com, and
there
I'm on Facebook.
And that's where they'll find the TV show there.
Yes,
as well.
It's saved in archive. So if you miss it live,
you watch the podcast.
You can watch any show I do. And I got real lucky. I'm blessed to, as you know, a sponsor is 90% of the bat. And I got a guy named Ray Zarnick who stepped up to the plate.
Good for you, Ray. Yeah.
Hall of Famer. Yeah. You know, a royalty in the game. His brother, Eggs, Tommy Zarnick, that's one of the top three pitchers in the history of our game. And he's the president and general manager of Napleton, Chrysler, Dodge, Ram, Jeep in Lansing. And they're a block off of I-80 in Torrance. And sold a lot of cars to the softball community and loves the game. I told him he knows my passion, and he's backing me because of him. Softball is alive and going to be on camera for everybody to see.
And
plus, what he's doing, any team that comes to my show, and I get them on, you're welcome to come. It's free. We'll interview your manager. You can come up. Each guy will come up and give a shout-out to his wife and kids. And Ray Zarnick is donating a free oil change to everybody who comes.
No, yeah. In the old days, a lot of taverns would sponsor.
Oh, everybody, everybody had. You had to have one.
It was a way to get people to come back to your pub after the, you know. I know Riley's daughter sponsors a bunch of.
Yeah, and you can't go wrong because you're going to get your money back.
Absolutely.
The guys. But when a guy gives a free oil change to just for showing up, you know, the guy is.
That's
sincere.
Good, yeah,
that's pretty sincere. Yeah. But you know, I'm blessed to have Ray and a great sponsor like him to. You know, get me back in the game because I haven't been on the air since the 90s. I had a 10-year radio show on WKKD in Aurora, Naperville. And Matty Dozen Sr. wrote the foreword of my book where he described how you would listen to my show. It was on Sunday night, and I was on radio. And you had to either move your radio in your basement to pick me up or drive your car somewhere to get me in.
To an empty
and he
lot,
says
yeah.
in his forward, he says, I hope it's a clear night tonight so I can get the big guy in. So that was
that's
nice.
Great.
Yeah, and that's how it was. And now.
TV station you were on? I used to watch
you. You were on TV.
You had to report all the time.
I was on two of them. I was on
high school football.
I was on CLTV.
Yes.
And then I was on WJYS, Channel 62. I was on there for... I was on for 8 years, the Apple Chevrolet Prep Report. But the problem with that, I was on Tuesday nights at 10. If you miss me, you miss me.
Yeah.
I had 20 calls tonight. Who'd you have on? What'd you say? Well, I missed it. There was no saving, no nothing.
Yeah.
The beauty of this, you can be sitting in your backyard and watch me on your cell phone live. Yeah. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. And then if you miss me, you just go and watch the whole show on that. But, you know, a couple people, Al Magg has been my mentor. He founded the Hall of Fame, and he lives in Arizona now, so I told him he can be poolside with the little umbrella and the drink that he drinks, sipping, and watching me live, and I'm going to get on him. Rich Mellon, of course, just a man that owns 100 restaurants, most successful businessman, and cares about the little guy, and took good care of me with my book. He said, Tim, I was going to bring it out at Christmas, and it really wasn't done because there's I could have wrote 10 volumes on our game, you know, so he helped me a little bit to get me through a few months, and it was great, turned out good, so I'm so grateful to him. And, you know, you got your local guys, Lane Neiman, Rich Hennessy, you know, guys that are with me from day one, and, you know, they got your back, you know, got your back and don't. And that's what keeps me going with this show. You know, I mean, it's our game.
You said something about the parks and the fact that you drive by these parks now.
Yes.
And there's not.
They're ghost towns.
The ghost towns, but it wasn't just the softball players. Everybody would come up there with their kids. They'd have the lawn chairs, the parks,
coolers. With,
the coolers. They'd be out there. You go by Kennedy Park. Holy Lord! It was like every
night. The most wealthiest vendor in the history of 6-inning softball, the hot dog carton back at Kelly Park. He retired when he was 30, I think. I mean, he just had one little cart. He was at, I mean, oh my God, there were lines waiting to get a hot dog from that vendor because that's where everybody goes to watch. That was the Yankee Stadium of our game, was Kelly Park.
You got to come back later in the season and talk about this some more because we got to take
this
a break.
This is really great. This is really
great. The book is We Are Chicago's Game, 16-inch, noglovesoftball.com. Tim.
Get a hold of Julian Skinny, my best of your brother Mike, and the honor to be out here in spite of the drive and the 80 turns I had to make. But no, it was an honor, and anything I can do and get help to promote our game. Well, I had to go
out to Wake out at St. Christina's right before the show, so I was in the same traffic. I'm like, come on.
Anything we can get to plug our game, and it is our game.
Absolutely. Keep it going. Keep it going.
This podcast will be all over the place, and I'm going to see to it. And,
you should go to Paul Vallis and talk to him because.
And you know what? On a Sunday night, and I know your schedule's booked. I don't know if you're being Ireland or a Carmel banquet, but I'd love to have you come out to TC's Pub one night and sit in with me and.
That'd be fun.
And do a show out there.
Yeah, you know? Love to. I'd love to get my brother Mike because he played on the Bobcats.
Yeah.
He can tell you stories.
Well, Mike is like David Jansen, the fugitive. You can never find a guy. He's, I'm busy. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And tell him I said so. But I love him.
All right.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Tim. God bless you. The book is We Are Chicago's Game, 16-inch NoGloveSoftball.com. Check it out. You will be glad you did. We'll be right back after these messages on the Skinny and Hooley Show.
Attention commercial business owners, industrial business owners, restaurateurs, apartment, condominium, and building maintenance managers. Flood Brothers Disposal and Recycling Service wants to earn your business. When was the last time you checked your garbage disposal rates? How about making a call or emailing for a free quote today at 773-626-5800 or online to floodbrothersdisposal.com. Flood Brothers is one of the last family-owned and operated solid waste recycling and yard waste firms serving metropolitan Chicagoland. Flood Brothers specializes in expert personalized service, extremely competitive pricing, and is backed by the Flood Brothers family name. Call Flood Brothers today. There's no charge other than a phone call to get a free quote. Call 773-626-5800 or go online to floodbrothersdisposal.com. When your name is on the trucks, you work harder to satisfy every customer. Call 773-626-5800. Flood Brothers Disposal and Recycling Service. Your garbage and recycling waste is their bread and butter.
There's only one Irish pub on the Chicago River, and that's Lizzie McNeil's at 400 North McClurg Court. We spend a lot of time there taping the Skinny and Hooley Show at Lizzie's almost every Wednesday night. You can escape the hustle and bustle of Navy Pier and relax at Lizzie McNeil's. Our old pal John Wren is your host. Please say hello when you stop by for one of their ice-cold brews in an authentic Irish pub. One visit and you'll be calling it your hometown hangout. We've been hanging at Lizzie's for going on 7 years now, so join us. When the weather gets nice, they have two outdoor patio areas where you can take advantage of the sunshine, a cafe menu of salad, sandwiches, and appetizers. Lizzie's also has a great private party room that's perfect for birthdays, graduations, and most nights at Lizzie's, you can meet the elite of Chicago's Irish-American community. So stop by Lizzie McNeil soon, right by the river. Tell them you were sent by Skinny and Hooley. With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. Skinny and Hooley Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
And we're back on the Skinny and Hooley Show with an entertaining guest.
Oh, is he a character?
Holy cow, is he ever. And
I would say his passion is softball.
Well, he was pretty into the football, Catholic League football last time he was here, too. But what an incredible guy.
He really is.
And so tune in to his TV show. It starts, I think, the end of this month. And he gave it. We'll be raffling off some of those books at the Crack Radio Show tomorrow night. It's just so refreshing to meet somebody who's so excited about the history of Chicago and the sports and all the stuff that we were into as kids. And he's going to try and keep it going. And God bless him. I hope he does, because that's what we need. You got to keep it going, right, man? Keep those clinchers. Keep making those clinchers. So, you know, Skinny, whenever I'm walking down Western Avenue and I look in the window of Ken's or Wrong's or Hart's or any of those great Irish saloons, and I see the ghost of my old pal Jimmy Goff through the mist. He says to me, "Hey, Hooley, who died?"
You know, Hooley, we're not aware of this, but Maureen Lanigan died.
Yeah, Terry's wife.
Terry's wife, yeah. Maiden name was Dolan. Maureen's just was a great, great person. And Terry, as you know, was my brother Mike's partner in the police department, worked for Mike in the sheriff's office.
Right.
Just a tremendous, tremendous guy. Mother of Ellen, Colleen, Mary and Kevin, and grandmother of nine, daughter of William and Ellen, they're both from Ireland, sister Jan and William Dolan. They had the mass at St. John Fisher on the south side, which is a great, great parish in Holy Sepulchre. Terry's lived there forever. Terry and Maureen lived there forever. But she'll be missed. A really, really great lady.
He's also a very good friend of PJ's.
Yes, Terry. And PJ, yeah. We were not aware of that, so we just wanted to get that in. So
our condolences, Terry.
Terry and the family, yes.
Yeah. Skinny John D. O'Brien, beloved husband of Eileen and the father of Brendan and Bridget. God rest his soul, John D. O'Brien. Also, Kathleen Mulgannon, a native of Tourmacady, County Mayo, of course, where everybody on the north side is from. She died at the age of 84. God rest her soul. Devoted mother of John, Eileen, and the late Dennis. And her lifelong best, she was lifelong best friends with our old friend Barbara Glynn. So God rest her soul, Kathleen Mulgannon.
Yeah, and Donna Marie O'Keefe from Hegwish, southeast side, 70 years old. Passed away on April 26th. The mother of Brian, Kimberly, and Donald, grandmother of about four. She was got her nursing degree from St. Xavier's in the south side, and she was buried out of St. Columba Church out on the east side. So we want to say a prayer for her also.
And Skinny Jerry Gorman, husband of the late Agnes, father of Stephen, Gary, and Ian. Jerry was a proud member of the Cary Association, the Pioneer Club, and a big supporter of Gaelic Park. God rest his soul, Jerry Gorman.
Dr. William Conroy, we got this from PJ.
Oh, yeah.
Born in 1925. He was 92 years old, died in Jacksonville, Florida.
He was from Chicago.
He was from Chicago. He was born in Chicago in 1925. And he was a doctor. He began at a little company, Mary Hospital. He did a few other hospitals in Chicago. And then he went to Springfield, Illinois. He graduated from De La Salle in 1943, went into the Army. And anyways, did a lot of research. His ancestors came from Limerick City and Roscommon County. So he was buried, where was he? Oh, he's in Springfield. So we would just say a prayer for Dr. William Conroy.
God rest his soul. Skinny Carol Ann O'Neill, beloved wife of William, the mother of Bill, Kate McShane, Kevin's wife, Ellen, and Ann, who is married to our friend Jim Crago. It's Jim Crago's mother-in-law, actually, and Jim sent me a note and said, my mother-in-law just passed away yesterday afternoon. She was a Southside Irish woman through and through. Her and my father-in-law were residents of Smith Village. How about that?
Yes.
She battled COPD for a long time, and I finally caught up with her. Could you and Skinny please give her a shout-out for your next statement? Oh, God rest her soul. Carol O'Neill, 78, longtime parishioner of Most Holy Redeemer and a graduate of Marquette University. God rest her soul, Carol O'Neill, and our condolences to the Jim Crago and the family of Kevin McShane.
Yeah, so, and Dan Gaynor, the Gaynor family, the South Side, 67 years old, retired from the Chicago Police Department. His wife was Patricia Kennedy, children were Dan, Megan, Patrick, Ryan. He's a brother of Bill Gaynor, a buddy Bill, who's the head of the
older brother, younger
Galway.
Brother?
He's Bill's younger brother.
Oh, okay.
The Galway Sister Cities, you know, does a lot of great stuff for the city and with the Sister Cities in Galway. And but anyways, his sister was Dorothy. We mentioned Bill, his brother Bob, Pat, the late Rosemary and Thomas. And he was going to be buried. The wake was today at St. Christina's, and the funeral's tomorrow at St. Christina's. So Dan Gaynor was quite a character. He was a motor. He had a motorcycle. He was just a character, a guy that you could write 10 books about, and a terrific guy, a terrific policeman, and a great family guy. So say a prayer for Danny Gaynor, great guy. So
God rest his soul. All right, we're going to close up the crypt and take another break here on the Skinny and Hooley Show. We'll be right back after these messages from our friends.
Putting your future in the hands of a lawyer can get personal, particularly in personal injury cases. You've got one shot at justice, so you're going to want a guy who thinks like you. Tom Gorman is Southside Irish all the way. He grew up in Holy Redeemer Parish, went to Brother Rice, and yeah, he got a ride to play ball at Notre Dame, played on the undefeated 1988 National Championship football team. After a shoulder injury ended his career, Tom stayed on with the Fighting Irish for his master's in law degree. Tom won the American Jurisprudence Award for trial advocacy at Notre Dame Law School, and he's been a trial lawyer ever since. Tom's practice is devoted exclusively to personal injury and wrongful death. Sure, he's won $1 million verdicts for his clients, but his focus remains on those families and their futures. Tom and his wife, Christine, have lived in Beverly for almost 20 years, and they're raising their 5 kids in Christ the King Parish, Brother Rice, Mother McCauley, and their oldest son is now at ND as well. Lots of folks have to deal with tragedy. It's good to know there's a guy out there you can count on who'll be in your corner to protect your family. You can call Tom Gorman directly at 312-345-7210 and tell him about your situation. Or go to the website, www.gormantriallaw.com. He's a good guy. There's no charge for the consultation, and you'll meet a new friend that's ready to fight for you and your family. Call Tom Gorman today at 312-345-7210 and tell him your story. If you're looking for an office in the loop, you got to check out Integrated Office Suites at 20 North Clark Street and 455 North City Front Plaza Drive in the NBC Tower. IOS has an entire floor in these two very prestigious buildings, and they offer the best in executive offices, virtual business offices, personalized phone answering, conference room and day office usage, administrative support services, and customized packages with fixed monthly invoices. Integrated Office Suites are convenient and very classy. So get in touch with our friends at integratedofficesuites.com or call them at 312-561-2300 and tell them Skinny and Hooley sent you. That's integratedofficesuites.com, 312-561-2300. You'll be glad you did.
I'm Brendan O'Brien. Back in June of 1976, a guy opened a saloon on the south side called Riley's Daughter. That guy is my dad, Boz O'Brien. Millions of pints have been poured since then. Our family has quenched the thirst of the South Side for over 41 years. The storied history of Riley's Daughter is familiar to generations of friends who've told me their tales of nights they'll never forget at Riley's. Maybe they met their future wife or hubby at Riley's, or maybe they were there for many of our White Sox, Bears, or Notre Dame trips, or maybe their grandmother once bribed the judges in our Irish soda bread contest. We'll never tell. My family has been proud to be part of that over the years. One thing my dad has taught me is that you can't have too many friends. The legacy of Riley's Daughter has been the people we've been lucky enough to meet who stop by and share their good times with us. Today we're back in the South Side, right where we started, at 4010 West 111th Street in Oak Lawn. As Yogi Berra said, it's deja vu all over again. We actually closed the deal on our return the day Yogi died. God rest his soul. 2 years later, we haven't missed a step. If Yogi were alive, we'd tell him. Pull up a stool at Riley's Daughter and make yourself at home. If it's good booze and a friendly chat you're looking for, please stop by and say hello to my dad, Boz, my brother, Danny, or me, Brendan O'Brien. If you don't bring a story, we'll make sure you leave here with one. And if you mention the Skinny and Hooley Show, we'll make sure to put an extra ice cube in that drink of yours. Hope to see you back at Riley's Daughter in Oak Lawn on 111th Street.
They're people now.
Yeah, you can't beat Riley's Daughter. Hey there, where are you going?
Katie Sheridan, you're going to be on in a minute.
Yeah, Bernie Sheridan. Skinny, you know what? I heard a funny story the other day. Two guys, they get to heaven and they wind up at the pearly gates. And one guy looks at the other guy. They're in line, you know, and they see St. Peter. And the guy goes, "How'd you die?" He goes, "I froze to death." I goes, "Oh my God! Well, what's that like, freezing to death?" He goes, "Well, it's kind of painful, you know. At first you get numb and you get kind of..." It's not fun, and you know, after a while though, you just get kind of numb and you black out and you just kind of fade away and you're dead. How about you? How'd you die? He goes, oh, I had a heart attack. He goes, oh, really? How'd you have a heart attack? He goes, you know, I knew my wife was cheating. And so I came home early to try and catch her, and I ran upstairs, and she's sitting in the bedroom knitting. And I ran down the basement looking, and couldn't find the guy. Looked everywhere, I thought. Then I ran upstairs again, and I still couldn't find him. As I ran downstairs again, I had a massive heart attack and croaked right there. And the other guy goes, wow, boy, is that ironic. Well, what are you talking about? And he goes, if you'd have looked in the freezer, we'd both be alive. I thought that was pretty good. Okay.
That was pretty good. Hey, so, listen, I want to thank today we had a breakfast.
Oh, yeah, it was Ricketts.
Tom Ricketts from the Chicago Cubs and raised a lot of dough for Special Olympics.
What's his connection to Charlie Carey? Do you know?
Oh, I don't know. I'm sure Charlie knows him, though. But
he was at Charlie's mother's funeral.
Really, really good guy, though. Terrific guy. And he probably helps Charlie out with that Hall of Fame thing. But I want to thank Tom Ricketts and the Chicago Cubs. It was really nice. We had a lot of athletes there, a lot of whatever. A lot of people came out for it. And I want to thank Jay Jordan and the City Club for putting it on. It was great. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
You know, Skinny, Celtic Woman is coming to the Rosemont Theater June 17th. I want to remind everybody, homecoming tour live from Ireland at the Rosemont Theater June 17th. You'll be hearing more about it, but we may be giving some tickets away. Get in touch at www.celticwoman.com. Oh, don't forget, Skinny and Gino are going to Ireland October 11th to the 18th. We want you...
Hooli
and Gino. Boy, am I out of it.
Boy, that's
scary.
Have
another Guinness, Mike.
That would have made Gino's day if that was true. But anyways.
Yeah. Anyway, you know, we got a full-page ad in the Irish American News this month. You can get all the details. But speaking of which, you know, I did go to Paul Vallis's press conference today. And he declared for mayor, and he was very impressive, I got to tell you. But you know who I met there?
Oh.
Our old pal, Cyril Regan, the man from Roscommon.
Oh, yeah.
And he was walking around like he was a Secret Service agent again. It's part of his shtick. But he did send me a press release about his the St. Giles Youth GAA is holding a fundraiser to defray costs of sending a team to compete in the field. I think that's how you say it. The field in Ireland this June. How do you say that, Bernie? The field? The field? The field. That's a GAA thing. The Faley. She don't know. You'll be with us in just a minute. St. Giles Youth GAA is proud to be sending its first team from Chicago to participate in the Faley tournament. Pronounced Faley. She's right, Faley.
Faley.
The Faley tournament is being hosted by the counties of Down, Louth, and Meath. Oh, that's where our friend Bernie is from. So you got to check that out. It's coming up. And so they're having a big fundraiser. St. Giles Faley Committee presents a night at the races. Tonight, May 5th, at O'Rourke's office at 110th and Webster.
Oh,
110th.
Josephine, his wife does that.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. First race starts at 7 tonight.
Night at the races.
Live music after the races features Buttermilk Biscuit. Come out and support Chicago Irish sports. For questions, sponsorship, or opportunities, email dancusack@hotmail.com. You can be a gold sponsor, silver sponsor, all kinds of sponsorships available. Just a great thing to promote the kids.
They can get information there,
the
too.
The kids,
right?
Are going to Ireland.
At the website?
They can get the information at the website. Whose website is it? Oh, no, just go to dancusack@hotmail.com or show up tonight at O'Rourke's office, 11064 Southwestern. First race starts at 7. It's a great fundraiser. If you don't know anybody, you will when you leave. You'll have a blast. So we're going to take one more break on the Skinny and Hooli Show, and then we'll come back. We'll talk to Bernie Sheridan from County Meath. So stick around.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started 80 years ago by their grandfather. Today, 15 members of the family still work together. And as in their grandfather's day, they're service-oriented and believe that the only way to do something is the right way. Flood Brothers are price competitive, so you can count on them to exceed your expectations. So contact Flood Brothers for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. And remember their motto, your rubbish is our bread and butter. So call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or at floodbrothersdisposal.com.
When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Home are third generation family owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. Robert J. Sheehy and Son Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this is one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind, was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of success is evident 98 years later as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. The name Sheehy on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehys took very good care of our family, and you know you never forget something like that. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike Orico, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff, take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today, available at your local grocery store.
This is Mike Houlihan. I support Concern Worldwide. If you want to do something about global poverty, hunger, refugees, the unacceptable suffering of young children, if you want to reach people directly where the need is greatest, you should too. For 50 years, since its grassroots beginnings in Dublin, Concern has saved and changed millions of lives. It's been the proud, relentlessly compassionate face of Ireland to the world. Support Concern today at concernusa.org. That's concernusa.org. There is no more Irish thing you can do.
Oh, Skinny, I want to thank you for
your good friend, Madeline Albright.
My good friend, Madeline Albright, is going to be for the Concern thing. Hey, we have a very special guest.
You just dropped by. The one and only.
Bernie Sheridan from County Meath.
Royal County.
God bless you, Bernie. So glad to have you here on the Skinny and Alicia. Now, what brings you to Chicago?
It's a long story. How many hours do I have to answer the question?
We got like a minute.
Oh dear, this is going to be a tough one.
Are those
one.
Your relatives?
That's my captain over there.
Your captain?
Yep. I'm a flight attendant.
Oh, are you really?
Yeah.
For Aer Lingus?
Nope. Oh. I wanted to be a flight attendant for Aer Lingus in 1977.
Yeah.
But my eldest brother worked for Aer Lingus and he said, Bernie, you'll just be a waitress in the sky.
Oh.
You have to finish your schooling and you have to go to college.
Good for him.
University, we say.
Uni. And where'd you go to school?
I went to school in St. Joseph's Convent of No Mercy in Navan, County Meath. There was no mercy with
those
nuns.
Oh, that's where she's from, Navan.
I had to wear gloves and white knee socks and patent shoes and all of that fun stuff with a uniform, you know, with the tie.
Sure, sure, yeah. And is this your first trip to Chicago?
No. I came to Chicago the first time in 1992 when I married my husband who is from Michigan.
Oh,
and we got
no,
married
really?
In Ireland and we came to Upper Peninsula, Michigan, and then we drove to Chicago for a couple of days.
And where's that? Where in the Upper Peninsula?
That means 1 minute.
Where in the Upper Peninsula?
We went up to Mackinac Island.
Oh, nice. That's
beautiful.
Beautiful. Yeah. Now, he took me into this place where they, it's like a casino, but like the Native American Indians were running
it. Oh, sure, sure. Ho-Chunk, maybe, or someplace like
that. I did not know what I was doing. I'd never been in a casino in my life. So there I am in there, and I have no idea what I'm doing, but I said, I'm going to spend this $20. So I went over to a table, and my husband's like, what are you trying to do? You don't know what you're doing. So fast forward, I didn't know what I was doing, but I had the luck of the Irish, and I won a ton of money.
No kidding.
Good for you.
Yeah. I don't even know what I did, but I got a lot of money.
How much?
That's good.
Hundreds of dollars. Like,
oh, that's
maybe
terrific.
$500 or $600.
Do you want to sponsor a radio show?
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Well, Bernie.
Bernie, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Bye.
I love
Tell
Chicago.
All your friends to listen in Ireland. They can listen to the podcast.
Oh, great.
SkinnyHooly.com.
Yes.
Okay. Slán.
Slán. We'll see you. Slán. Galawal.
Yeah, yeah.
And we will
see you later. Bye.
The Skinny and Hooly Show is recorded in front of a live audience.